fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
So I am here with Twanisha TT Terry, and I am so excited to have her on. As y'all know, All Inclusive Sports has been on a little pause as far as the podcast because I stepped away and started a family. So this is my first episode back since about last August, which was actually right around the Paris Olympics. So really excited to have her on. And TT, I'm just genuinely interested in you. I wanted my first episode back to be with someone who, one, I knew some about, but not all, but like just had an interest in. Like, when I started following you after the Paris Olympics, I saw you doing Legos and plants and crochet. And I'm like, oh, she not just track. Like, she got other things going on. Then I saw you had a book and a nonprofit. And I'm like, oh, I really want to talk to her. So, like, I was messaging you everywhere. Like, I was in your Facebook comments, your Instagram comments. Like, I'm like, I'm going to get her. So, like, I am so grateful that you took the time to be here today. And, yeah, let's just dive in.
So thank you for having me, and I just want to say first, like, congratulations on starting your family.
Thank you.
I didn't see any Facebook or Instagram comments. I just so happened to just be going through my Instagram, my Gmail that's attached to my Instagram. I'm like, okay, let me see, and then taking a peek at stuff that's here and there, and I came across, and I was like, well, dang, the date did say September, but let me just respond and see if the opportunity is still available. Because I know you sent it like around the time before I left for Tokyo. And then once I came back from Tokyo, I literally been traveling nonstop. I've been traveling since October 2nd, like every week since October 2nd. And I literally get on a flight tomorrow morning.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for squeezing this in your busy schedule. Like, that means everything to me. And girl, opportunity forever on the table. If you would have wrote me back next year, I would have been like, yes, let's do it. So, yeah. So, like I said, my first introduction to you was the Paris Olympics. And of course, you walked away with the gold medal. So, like, I want to start there. How has your life changed since Paris? And then I want to hear about the road to Paris.
I would say my life since Paris, I guess it changed, but not really that drastic for me. You know, a lot of my family members and friends like say, oh, you're famous, you this, you that. You know, I caught the eye of other celebrities that I look up to, like Queen Latifah being one of them, and finally getting to meet her in person this year. But I would definitely say more opportunities have been flowing in. But I'm also an athlete that do so many things off the track that I'm able to showcase my personality and be a part of different communities, like you mentioned, Legos, crocheting, plants. So you have people that support me as a track and field athlete, but there's also people that's able to relate to me because they love plants as well, or because they love Legos. I actually had someone tell me that they support me on the track, but they couldn't relate to me on the track. But when they found out I love plants and they love plants, they're like, oh, I definitely can relate to you in the field of buying or purchasing or just growing certain plants or certain vegetables, fruit, stuff like that. So, you know, just being able to tap into different communities.
That's amazing. I feel like that's the athletes that we know and love, not just the ones who get it done on the track or the court, but the one who are interested in other ways. Like, we know y'all are great athletes, but like, what are those little interests y'all have that we can really connect to? Because we know we can't do what y'all can do on the field. Right, we already know that. So, like, bring me in another way as well. That's awesome. So, what about the road to Paris? Like, again, I'm a track newbie, don't know much, but when it's Olympic time, like, I'm all in Team USA. So, how do you get on the Olympic team? I know y'all have trials and stuff, but like, walk me through the process so I can feel like, oh wow, like I see it now. Yeah.
So for Paris, you have the Olympics every 4 years, the World Championships every 2 years, and then you have other little stuff in between here and there. But for Paris 2024, you have to compete at the USA Championships in Eugene, Oregon, where top three for each event makes the team. And maybe for the 400, they may take all six or all eight because they have the mixed relay and the 4x4 relay now, so they need multiple bodies for the multiple rounds. But for my event, the 100 and the 200, they only take top three for each event. And it's basically whoever comes to top three in the 100 make the team, whoever comes top three in the 200 make the team. And it kind of just go from there. You go through team processing where you go through these different stations, rotations, whether it's talking about the uniform sizing. And then Olympics is a little more than the World Championships because you have to get Olympic kit. You get the uniform kit, you get the Ralph Lauren kit, then you get extra kit. It's just so much that you're blessed with for making the team. And then you have other stations of other opportunities. Like this year we had Sonya Richards Ross pajama brand. So we was able to get that, and it's a whole bunch of different things. But as far as the 100, for me, going into 2024, I dealt with my first injury in the sport, and it didn't seem like I would make the team. I had to miss training. I re-aggravated that injury, so I had to miss even more training, and I kind of just took it meet by meet. You know, I started out running 11.3, then ran 11.1, then kept running 11.0, 11.0. And then when it came down to the final, I think I got the last spot in maybe because I was in lane one. But for me, I said, all I need is an opportunity to get it done. I looked at my teammates at the time, Melissa and Shakari, and told them, I'm coming through there with y'all. Whatever I got to do, we all going to make this team together. And that's what we went out there and did. I was able to get third place. Shakari won at the time. Melissa got second. And we were just happy to get the job done. And we were saying that whole year on what we wanted to accomplish. But all of us dealt with something that year, but neither of us let that situation defeat us from the goal that we wanted to accomplish. We always pushing each other. If I was down, Melissa talking to me, or we just sitting in silence with each other, just letting each other know that you still have a shoulder to lean on. And the same with Shakira, you know, running through things, doing things in practice, or pushing each other in practice. She may lead a rep, I may lead a rep. So Paris 2024 was definitely one for the books. Walked away with a gold medal in 100. I mean, in the 4x1, I'm sorry. And in 100, I still made the final, got fifth place. So to finish fifth in the world with everything I had to endure going into Paris, it was definitely a strong feat. At the time, I was very disappointed that I didn't walk away with a medal or the performance that I wanted. But I was reminded that nobody even expected you to even be here. So you really accomplished way more that you set out to accomplish.
That's amazing. Like, I was watching the sprint documentary. So like, I'm telling you, I went all in since Paris. Like, any track content that was out there, I probably have seen it. And I heard them just talking about how y'all train so hard for like 10, 11 seconds.
We do.
Yes.
I run the 100 and 200 and then fall training be dying running 500. Just to prepare my body to last from March to September, maybe October now with the Athlos meet and things like that. Just to go out there on the track and run 10 seconds, 22 seconds, you know? Yeah. So it's a lot of hard work that definitely goes into it. And it may look easy when we on the track and winning and walking away with this, walking away with that, but we really be grinding in the fall season.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me about Young TT. What was your first introduction to track and field?
So my first introduction to track and field was in 2009. I was walking home with some of my siblings and some friends from Pine Villa Elementary. And across the street was Goose Park, where they had the kids was out there training for the Junior Olympics. Not the Junior Olympics, but recreational track. At the time, it was called Miami-Dade Parks. Mm-hmm. And then the South combined with the North when it came to like Junior Olympics. So we ended up switching to Metro-Dade Track Club. Eventually, but I remember walking home with them. I said, y'all, we're gonna go try out. So we all went to try out. I made it to the Junior Olympics my very first year in 2009 in Greensboro, North Carolina. We had Junior Olympics at North Carolina A&T Stadium. I can't recall if I made it in my individual events. If I did, I know I didn't make the final for the 100 and 200, but I did make it for the 4x1, and I was second leg
forever.
And we ran a record at that time. We won gold, and we got put in the Miami Herald, And from that point on, I just kept going back. It really started out as something just to go have fun, be with my friends. And then it got serious as I did each level. I did recreational track. I did middle school track. I did high school track at, I did middle school track at Richmond Middle for sixth and seventh grade, and then Notless Middle for eighth grade. And then I ran track at Miami Northwestern all 4 years. And then I went on to run at USC, and now I'm running professional for Nike and Team USA.
Amazing. So you talk about second leg. Again, new to track, so everybody talking about the start and the anchor. But after the 4x1, I started people saying, like, nobody run a second leg like TT. Like, that just became a whole thing. So what is it about the second leg that, like, you take so much pride in? Because you own it, clearly.
I don't know. When I see second leg, because I know they be like, okay, the first leg kind of can break the stagger. Sometimes they stay the same. And I feel like when I get the baton, I want to try to run down as many people as I can and give it to our third leg, let them do what they need to do, and last leg do what they need to do. It's just, I just love second leg. Second leg was the only leg I ran in high school. I did run third leg once when we just wanted to throw a curveball at one of our competitors. Mm-hmm. And I did run anchor once. That was a funny situation in high school. But I've always ran second leg. Then I got to college, and Coach Carroll threw me on anchor. And I'm like, why am I running anchor? I'm a freshman. Why do I need to be on anchor? And she's like, well, I need somebody that got that dog in them on anchor. And I know if it come down to it, you're going to be the one to get the job done and do what you need to do. So it's just something about when I get a baton in my hand on second leg that just activate another TT.
Yeah. No, I love that. So you do 4x1, you do the 100, the 200. Are there any other events that you were interested in growing up or are interested in now that you may want to dip in?
So I did do long jump in high school. Nice. I did it a couple times, but I didn't know how to carry my speed down the runway. So what I would do is stutter step. So stutter step is like, instead of hitting your board like pow with confidence, mm-hmm. I will chop up a little bit and then I'll try to hit the board and jump off of it. So my coach ended up telling me, girl, we're not about to get you hurt. We're just going to leave that event alone. You did what you needed to do in it. I earned second place at one meet before. And I just left it alone after that. I let the coaches do what they need to do. In college is when I was introduced to indoor season. So indoor season, you only have the 60 meter and the indoor 200. So that's when I started running the 60 meter and started running the 200. But I only did it in college because in Florida, we have good weather. So there's no need for us to have indoor facilities. And I haven't done indoors since I left college. I am interested to see what I would run in a 60 now, but I haven't touched indoors since.
No, I got you. Have you ever played any other sports?
No, I've never done any other sport. If I was to do another sport, I think I wanted to try tennis. I would have tried tennis. I know I'm not good at basketball. I can't dribble the ball. So, yeah.
You could get there.
Basketball. But I can't get it through my legs. Maybe if I learned. Okay, but
girl, you fast. that's something right there. You steal the ball and pass it. You ain't even got a dribble, okay?
That's true. That is true.
So tennis, why tennis?
I don't know. I just feel like tennis looks so fun, and like there's so much more to it than just hitting the ball. There's strategy and stuff that goes into it. You know, I love watching tennis. I was able to go to the U.S. Open the same year as Paris 2024. So being able to watch that live in person, it was a...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
It was very excited. You know, I was told that tennis was boring because you can't cheer, you can't clap, you can't do this and that. You can only do it at certain times. Yeah. So I thought I was going to be able to enjoy when I went for the U.S. Open, but I definitely enjoyed the experience and I would definitely love to go back and watch in person. And I think just kind of looking at Serena Williams and the kind of the image that she set for young Black girls in tennis, out of tennis, and just seeing her dominance on the court and her going away, having a baby and coming back and still being able to be dominant. I think that was something that was very intriguing for me watching tennis. So I feel like if I was to do another sport, I would have loved to do tennis and feel like her and Serena and Venus both paved the way for young Black girls to be a part of that sport. So I definitely would have loved to do a little something there if I didn't do track.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like you would be great at whatever you do. Like, you just seem that way. So that would be cool to see. So let's talk about you running in college. You went all the way across the country, USC. What was that like coming from Miami and going over there?
It was amazing. You know, I used to say I was going to go to UF, but...
Why are you going to my school? Come on now.
If you was to ask me why I wanted to go to UF, I wouldn't have been able to give you an answer.
Okay.
It was just really because we went to Florida Relays every year. Northwestern set the tone at Florida Relays as a high school. My freshman all the way to my senior year. And it was one year, I think it may have been my junior year or my sophomore year, when Florida 4x4 ran down the Nike professional team 4x4. And the atmosphere went crazy. I mean, like, we had a ball cheering for him because it was a 200-meter gap. And you didn't think he was going to run him down. And it was amazing to see that happen in person. And when Florida did, they little chump in the stands and singing their little chant and stuff, you know. But I never had a reason other than that on why I would go to UF. I never really researched the school academic-wise or anything, whereas I kept hearing about Coach Carroll this, Coach Carroll that, Coach Carroll. I'm like, who is this Coach Carroll? Like, I want to meet this Coach Carroll. And she coached my high school coach, Tiki, and when she was at UCF. So I was, that's how I was always hearing about her. So I was like, I want to meet this lady. So at UF, she so happened, USC was at UF that year. And Coach Tiki introduced me to Coach Carroll. And I remember that interaction verbatim. I remember she introduced, like, this Coach Carroll, this and that. You could tell she was in her zone. Her girls getting ready to run. You know how the coaches be. Mm-hmm. Don't want nothing to distract them if it don't have to. So introduced me to her. She didn't really acknowledge me as much, but she had a little bit. So then she goes, she was about to walk off. And she stopped in her tracks and turned around and was like, well, what's your time? I was like, what event you do? And I told her my events. I told her my times. At that time, I think it was 11:04 and 23:02. I don't know if I ran 23:02 at that time. I know for sure it was 11:04. And she stuck her hand out and said, oh, I'm Coach Carol. Nice to meet you. Okay. So I'm like, oh, them times got her attention. So then from there, I started saying, well, I want to go to USC. But I actually looked into USC. And what different schools they had. And at the time I was saying I was going to get a degree in criminal justice because I was, I went to a law enforcement high school, even though I ran track with my Northwestern. So I was saying I want to get a criminal justice degree. I had hopes of maybe doing like SWAT or FBI. Like, I wanted to do something that was different, that wasn't really female dominant, to like show females that it can be done. So I always went either FBI, SWAT, or K-9 route. And I end up saying, well, I'm not going to get a degree in criminal justice anymore because that's going to limit me. And USC also didn't have a criminal justice degree. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go more broader with communication. So I studied I looked into USC Communication School. It was number one at the time, Annenberg School of Communication. And I remember telling my dad about USC, or me always talking about USC. He kind of felt the way, I guess probably because I'll be going far. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really say it, but he was like, why all of a sudden you want to go to USC? You don't even know if they got what you want to study. This and that, this and that. Now you keep saying USC this, USC that. And I'm just like, I want to go to USC. Like, I did my research on USC. I don't think he knew that I did research on it. I did my research, went on my visit, loved it. I told him, like, normally when you go on your visits, you have a host for, especially the top recruits. They'll pair you with certain athletes that's already at the school. It could be a senior, someone that may be leaving, or someone else that's doing really good at the school as well, to try to get you to come to the school, kind of like show you the ins and outs of the school, if you have questions, stuff like that. So me being one of the top recruits, because my visit was full of top recruits from their states. And I remember telling her, I was like, y'all, I'm coming here. Y'all can relax. Y'all don't have to do all that extra stuff. Y'all don't got to try to bribe me. I'm coming.
Yeah.
So I end up signing to USC. And I remember at the state championship, they asked me where I was going to school. Do I know yet? And I said, well, I'd rather not say because I didn't let it be known yet. I wanted to wait for signing day to sign. Okay. And they was like, well, can you give us a hint? Like, what coast? Me not thinking at the time, because I just finished running a 200 or 100 meters. I'm not thinking nothing.
Yeah.
So I go and I say, West.
Okay.
Not thinking California, the West Coast.
Yeah.
So at that time, people started sending my video to Coach Carol, like, do you know who this is? You know this girl, this and that. And then from that point on, it's like they were scared to recruit me. Like, they were scared to go and get Coach Carol for some reason. Like, I would have some coaches that would call my college my high school coach and talk to her, try to ask her about me. She's like, y'all, go talk to her. Here's her information. But they were scared to talk to me, but they were always trying to check on me through my high school coach. So, yeah, then I went to USC. And I kind of looked at it also, whether UF had my major or not, I kind of looked at it as it was a guaranteed opportunity for me to get away from home, get away from Florida. Yeah. I grew up in Florida. I seen everything I needed to see. Mm-hmm. And I knew my dad wouldn't have to come out of pocket for anything because I went to USC on a full ride scholarship. And I'm saying, like, I didn't pay for books. I didn't pay for rent. I don't even know what none of the bills looked like at USC. I never touched the bill at USC. So I knew that was a guaranteed opportunity for me to go to the school of my choice. Right. And I knew the hard work that I put in because as a freshman, being a top dog as a freshman, getting third at state as a freshman, being beaten by seniors. And I looked at them going to school free of charge as well. And I was like, well, dang, they going to school free of charge. That means I can pick what school I want to go to. I don't have to be forced to attend a certain school. So that's when I was really focusing on doing what I need to do academically and on the track and just making sure everything was together for when I get ready to go to school, I'm able to choose and I'm not told you need to go here, you need to go there.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I got so many questions now coming out of that story. First thing, your dad, again, learned about you during Paris. I saw your dad everywhere. I was in Miami at the time. I was there for like 2 weeks. He was on the news, his job. They had y'all like pictures when you was younger. Like, your dad was a star, okay, on the local news, Channel 10, Channel 7. Talk to me about your relationship with your dad and the bond that y'all have.
So me and my dad actually learned track together. I didn't know what I was doing. I was new to the sport. He didn't know anything about the sport. Actually, when I first got started, people used to think he was my big brother with me. My first Junior Olympics was his first time out of the state, I believe, and his first time on a plane. Wow. And then Paris was his first international trip. And then obviously he went to Tokyo this year for the World Championships, but that was his, like, track. As many opportunities track has given me, track has given my dad those opportunities as well of him being able to see the world, see more than just Miami when he can, when he have the opportunity. And then just his having the support from his job as well, his job telling him, you need to go. We don't worry about it. You go with your daughter. We'll handle whatever we need to handle when you get back, you know, just seeing all the love that they showed him. Because at one point, you know, if we didn't have all these people supporting us, you know, it was just me and my little intermediate family and whoever else was really there for me. But it was always, every time you see me, you see my dad. Every track meet, my daddy was there in his work clothes. Any event I have, he's showing up. Like, I even have somebody saying, yo, daddy gonna make sure he get that work clothes or not. He gonna always have the work boots on. And I was like, yeah, he would come. He'd be like, what time is it? And he'll literally take a split second from work, come support me and be like, all right, baby, you need anything? I'm going back to work. And he'll go back to work. And I remember one time my dad asked me, and it's funny because my mom just texted me this other day asking, do I remember that? And my dad was like, when somebody Google your name, what you want to be known as? Mm-hmm. And I was like, at the time I was young, you know, kids young, we're not really worrying about that. We're not really thinking about that. And he's like, do you want to be known for something positive or you want to be known for something negative? Mm-hmm. No. So me, I'm like, I want to be known worldwide. You know, I want to be known for something positive. Yeah. And now looking back or looking now, TT is known everywhere, not just in Miami, not just in the United States, you know? So he definitely set the standard.
Yeah. Well, you worldwide. Worldwide, okay? You mentioned USC full ride, not having to pay anything. When was the first time you knew, like, oh, I can go to college for track, like I can be a pro track athlete?
My freshman year of high school is when I realized I can go to school of my choice, because my high school coach, Coach Carmen Jackson, she makes sure everybody is able to go to school. If your head on right and you want to pursue that path, she makes sure she gets you into school, whether it's a Power Five, whether it's a D1, a D2, a D3, whatever. She's going to make sure she give you that opportunity. And yeah. I knew the coaches that I was surrounded by, you know, being in high school, having the privilege of being able to have 6 coaches at the time, a jump coach, a hurdle coach, a sprint coach, a head coach, you know, I mean, being able to have those opportunities and be blessed with that. So I knew when Coach Carmen was sending girls to college my freshman year, you know, going to the University of Nebraska on full ride scholarships, going to this college, going to that college. And that's when I knew, I said, well, dang, they going to college.
Yeah.
Off the track. So I knew at that moment, my freshman year, when I got third at state in 100 and 200, I realized at that moment, like, I can choose what school I want to go to as well. You know, and from that point on, I was focused on, okay, I can go to school for this. I can make something more of just running track in high school and stopping in high school.
Was there ever a moment?
Oh, yeah,
that you doubted yourself or lacked confidence anywhere throughout your journey?
Yes. I would say 2023 season, you know, 2022 was my rookie year. I made the world championship team, made it as far as the semifinals in the women's 100, my first year. And coming into 2023, I was PR in the 200. But for some reason, I could not break 11 seconds in the 100, like legal. If I did run faster than 11 seconds, it was windy, so it didn't count. And I failed to make the team in 100 that year. And I got maybe 5th, I think, in the 200 that year. So I didn't make the team individually at all in 2023. Coming off of making it in 2022, being a part of the 4x1, holding off Sharika Jackson in the 4x1 in 2022 to not even making it individual in 2023. So I kind of carried that with me through the rest of the season subconsciously, not really realizing that I was carrying it until I spoke to a sports psychologist. And he was like, you've been diminishing your confidence because you keep saying you're going to the world championships, but only for a 4x1. But so I knew I was going for the 4x1, but it kind of was just like.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With rss.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
I was born as a discretionary pick, so I was just one of the picks that the coaches was able to make to allow me to come. So I just felt like I didn't do anything really, and that the 4x1 was just a 4x1. There's really not much to it. So I'm just like, yeah, I'm going, but it's just for 4x1. I'm just doing this, I'm just doing that. And really just diminishing my confidence every conversation I have about it, not realizing it. And it got to the last meet is when I spoke with the sports psychologist, and I went out there and ran 10:83. I was in my PR at the time was 10:82. Oh, wow. So it's like 10:83 was in me that whole season. I just wasn't bringing it out because I was approaching 100 different from the 200. 200, nobody's expecting me to do anything. I just go out there and have fun. And I PR'd at least 4 times that year in 200, which most people don't PR that many times in one season. So I knew it was a mental block when it came to the 100, but I didn't necessarily know what it was or what I was carrying until I actually spoke with somebody that pay attention to the way I was speaking to them and saying things. And I was told to take yeah, but out of your vocabulary. So I did that. And then 2024 happened. 2024 was good. You know, I had the injury, but I had a different perspective going into the race. I had a different mindset. And then going into this year, it wasn't really much doubt, but it was frustration that I was letting take over a bit. And I guess you can go and say a little bit of doubt of not fully trusting my training or trusting that I was prepared for the moments to run certain times. And it's like I ran 1085 Wendy and 1080, and I followed up with a 1089 right after. So it's like, it was in me.
Yeah.
I just wasn't bringing it out when I needed to.
Yeah.
And then I would also say that doubt may have been part of because of I knew the injury that I was dealing with or whatever, and the certain stuff that I was feeling like in practice. But as hard as I practiced and the way that I pushed through what I was feeling, there's no way I shouldn't have still performed the way I needed to perform . So it really was just a matter of that. But yeah. If anybody else come and talk to me or they going through something, oh, I will make you feel like you can move mountains.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When it came to me, I wasn't pouring that same effort back into myself. So I started understanding that, taking more time for myself, learning how to say no to people. Mm-hmm. Because I'm someone that loves to help any and everybody.
Yeah.
And it got to a point when my coach told me one time, he was like, when we come to track meets and stuff, I don't want to see you helping nobody. I want to see you just doing for you, being TT. I don't need you trying to make sure this person good. If this person forgot something, that's on them. That's not your job. They try to fix or try to help them. Like, I know you love helping. I know it may sound mean, or you may have to be a little selfish. You may not know how to be mean. You may not know how to be selfish, but I need you to take more time for yourself. Mm. You know, at first I'm like, I don't know how to, like, be rude. Or it wasn't just like him wanting me to be rude. He just wanted me to be a little more selfish. Because that's what some athletes do if they want to do what they want to do in their sport. They know how to be selfish a little bit and not necessarily see it as rude. It's just like, I know what I want to get, and I know what I got to do to get what it is that I want. So that's kind of something that I was learning as I go through the sport. Because like I said, I will always help everybody. I'm always supportive. I'm always rooting for others. And that's what some people don't be understanding as well. Like, how can I be happy for others or rooting for others when I'm not performing good, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that? And they're like, how are you happy for her? She's beating you. And I'm like, why would I sit here and be mad? Why would I sit here and be negative, you know? Me being negative, I'm not going to do anything but block the blessings that's coming later down the line. You know, and I'm a family of my time will come. Like, when it's time for me, it's going to be time for me. Maybe I'm not ready yet. Or maybe I need to build certain things before I can get what it is that I want. Because I believe that once I get what I'm supposed to get in this sport, that it's going to be overflowing. So I need to be ready when that moment comes. You know, so it was just other things I had to learn on how to be able to tell people no and not always trying to be there for other people or do this and do that. And being able to set boundaries with people and stuff like that. So that definitely is something that I've been working on, something that I've been learning.
Yeah.
And I've been grateful for the opportunities that have been thrown my way. And even some of the sacrifices, like I said, in the it's a business, and it's been plenty of times where things could have gone a certain way, but just by me being TT, being who I am, things didn't go that way. And me thinking the whole time, dang, this might happen or that might happen. I don't know how this is going to go. And whole time, the people like, oh, we're not worried about that. She's fine. We're not doing that. We're not doing. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. And they're like, if such and such would have happened, then it would have happened already. But it didn't happen. I said, oh, okay, well, I just wanted to know so I could know if I need to prepare for this or prepare for that, you know, going forward. And that's just by me just being me and always helping others, always doing for others, just getting blessed in other ways and not even realizing at the time, like, where I may think, like, my world is crumbling or something like that, but the whole time I'm being blessed later down the line with other opportunities because of my sport. So, yeah.
Absolutely. No, that's a great answer. And I feel like that's good context to know because – again, a lot of times you see the athletes at the top, but you really don't know what they went through to get there, especially walking away with a gold medal. It's easy to feel like everything like led to this moment and like you were good, you were at the top the whole time, but like people always are going through something. So when it comes to taking time for yourself and having that space, like I said, you have a lot of interesting things about you that I've seen on social media. Let's get into these hobbies. I see you crocheting. I see you doing Legos. I see you doing plants. I saw you made a post. You were like, hold on a crochet. Like, I need to get back to my Legos.
Yes,
like,
and I have not built a Lego set since. But come January 1st, I'm building Legos. I'm not crocheting anything unless it's I'm crocheting in between Lego sets, because I have the grand piano set to build.
Oh, wow.
I have the arcade, Pac-Man arcade to build.
Wow.
I think I got the grand piano.
This ain't no basic Lego.
Pac-Man set to build. I have so many other sets to build. A tranquil garden to build. It's so many sets to build. And I have all of those I don't already build. But I have not built a set since, and I'm so ready to get back to Lego. So when I finish up these last crochet orders, which are blankets, it's really this one blanket that's taking up too much of my time because I did something wrong and I'm kind of freestyling it. So I don't really know how to kind of fix it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm gonna just continue and just let it turn out however it's gonna turn out. And a person has specific dimensions that they wanted, 60 by 40. Mm-hmm. And I'm only at 40 by like 21.
Oh, so you got a ways to go.
And then my hands started cramping up. And then the crocheting, it's one of those where like if a project not going the way I want it sometimes, I just put it down and I come back to it and finish it. And I'd be excited to try to finish it to see the final look. But this specific piece is just taking me out. Like I'm dreading this piece.
Yeah.
And I need to start back on it because it need to be done before December 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get back to it. And then I have another blanket that I have to make. But other than that, yeah, I'm going to be done with crocheting
yeah.
a bit.
How did you pick up? How do you even get into crocheting?
COVID.
Oh.
So when COVID happened, I got sent home from school. And I told my best friend, I said, well, we're going to be shut down. I'm coming out here learning a new skill. And she knew how to crochet at the time. So I had her teach me how to crochet. She taught me how to crochet. I made a top. That top was so ugly. But I made my first top and I made a headband. The headband was cute. Mm-hmm. And then I started just making headbands, posting them on my story, and people started paying me for headbands and stuff like that. And my best friend was more advanced at the time. So I was telling her, I'm going to make us an Instagram page and I'm going to post our pieces. We're going to make money off of this. So she thought I was playing. And I made the Instagram page, sent her the patch one day. She said, oh, you were serious. And then ever since then, we've been getting orders. Like she loves to crochet. Like she would crochet all day, every day, because it's therapeutic for her. Mm-hmm. For me, it's therapeutic to an extent, but I don't like when I'm forced to make things.
Gotcha.
So that's why I don't crochet full time. Obviously, I can't crochet full time because I do track.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not one of those that crochet full time or dedicate so much time to crocheting, because I feel like once I'm starting to be forced to make things, then I'm starting to lose the interest for it.
Yep.
And I don't want to get to the point where I just get burnt out from crocheting, because I do enjoy making different pieces and being excited to see the final product.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of just dip and dab between my different hobbies. So I'll probably put the crochet down and then go do Legos, or put the Legos down and go to the plants. So yeah. I just find different things to just do so I don't get burnt out by the different hobbies.
Amazing. Well, whenever you get back to crocheting, I'm gonna put in the order so you can make something for my baby daughter. She just started 6 months. So
oh, see, the baby clothes are easy. The baby clothes are quick and easy. It's just this one blanket that I'm getting.
Just one blanket.
It's really just this one, because I'm excited to start the other blanket. It's really this one blanket. Baby clothes are so easy.
Yeah.
I've made baby clothes before. That was one of the main things I made, baby clothes and like bathing suits and stuff like that. So I've been looking into making more baby clothes. And so now, like that. I could definitely get that done.
When you come back, just make your post. I'm back. And
I will.
In my order. Okay, tell me about the Legos. How did you pick that up?
Childhood?
Just a childhood?
No, it wasn't childhood.
Okay.
You know, when you get older and you start making your own money and you start just purchasing things,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of what it was. But for me, even growing up though, my dad always got me whatever I wanted. Like I stayed with a new phone every month just because I made good grades. Like it got to the point where I'm like, daddy, I don't even know about the phone you talk about. He's like, you want such and such phone that just came out? I'm like, you just brought me this one. What do I need a new phone for? But he was just rewarding me for doing good in the classrooms, doing good on the track and things like that. But I actually can't remember. I think I just brought a Lego set here in Claremont when I was staying in my apartment. And it wasn't Lego specifically at the time. It was like some flowers or something, but they was like in the style of Legos.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started getting into actual Legos. And then from there, it kind of just took off.
Yeah.
And I realized you can get points buying on Lego. And then now when I go to other countries, I try to get a Lego set that's distinctive to their country.
That's cool.
And I'll bring it back home or I'll order it online. And then it kind of started after all of those, because I just had little flower ones here and there. And then I brought the Eiffel Tower. And the Eiffel Tower is almost 5 feet. It's 4'11".
Oh my God.
I brought the Eiffel Tower when I made the team for Paris. I said, if I make this team, I'm going to buy the Eiffel Tower. And when I made the team, I brought the Eiffel Tower that same night.
Yeah.
And it got to my house, and I said, I want to build this tower before I leave for Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So I started on the base, because it's 10,000 pieces.
Wow. So how long does 10,000 pieces take you?
So it kind of took me 3 days, but I split it up. So I did the first boss.
Weeks.
Yeah, so I did the first boss, and then I took a week break because my baby sister came in town, and she was way younger at the time. I didn't want her to get into the pieces. So I just completely stopped. I didn't have no Legos out at that time. Then I did the second box. And then my timing kind of was off from when I left for Paris. So I stayed up that whole night before my flight, putting my Lego together to finish it before I got on the plane. Like, I'm talking about pulling an all-nighter, taking a nap, waking back up to make sure I got it done before Paris. I was determined to have it completed before I got on that plane. So it really took about 3 days if I was to just do it like that, if I didn't have anything else to do in between. But it really just...
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
The Legos really just depends, because I like to try to challenge myself and see how fast I can get things done.
Yeah.
When it comes to Legos, so it all really be dependent.
Yeah. And the other one I wanted to hit on were the plants. I feel like all of these hobbies seem so peaceful and just like therapeutic. Is it the same for plants?
Yes, I love plants. Like, I spent $300 on one plant.
Oh yeah, you in there. So, you ain't got no quick off the side of the room.
That actually was a deal. We spent $300 for that plant. That plant would really have been probably $500 or $800. It's the Monstera.
For that much.
Yeah, it's a thigh constellation, and it was in really high demand at the time that I found it. I just got lucky at the nursery when I seen it, and I purchased that plant. And then maybe a year or so later, I came across another Monstera. It wasn't necessarily the thigh constellation, but I was like, oh, I got the thigh constellation. Maybe I could put this one on the other side of the room or something and just have two of the same type of plants or similar plants to each other. I think that one was also maybe $300 as well. Mm-hmm. And then even like the nursery I purchased it from, they knew that they wasn't going to be able to sell it at the exact price that it was supposed to be because people wasn't really going to buy it at that price. So I ended up getting a deal on that one. And then my other big plant that I brought was a lily plant. That one was maybe like 200 something, but it was really pretty. It had peace lilies growing out of it. Typically, when people buy lilies, people only buy them for the big green leaves, not necessarily the peace lilies, because only some of them produce the peace lilies. But I got lucky and mine had at least three of them on there. But then I went away, had someone come to water the plants, came back to my little plant, slumped over. But lilies are dramatic.
Okay.
He had just watered her. He did send me pictures of the plant watering everything. I came back and it was slumped over, but it was hot. It had got hot in my house downstairs.
Okay.
So now she's outside and she's thriving on the porch.
Okay, good.
Another Monstera out there thriving. So then I kind of just started adding more plants as I go. Like, it'll be days. So I'll be like, oh, I'm going to get some soil, or I need to refill up on this or that. And I'll see a plant and I'll be like, I'm going to get that plant. And I'll just get the plant. So I have a lot of plants in my front yard that's thriving right now. Money tree. Amazing. These other two plants I have doing really good. I have three lilies now. So yeah, they're definitely doing their thing. Very peaceful. And for some reason, when I leave for a while and I come back, all the plants are thriving and have new leaves. So when I water them tomorrow before I leave, I know when I come back, it's going to be something growing on each plant.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself a creative? Because like all of your hobbies give creative, artists, like beautiful minds. I guess
people would say that. Like I'll tell people like I'm very creative. Like I do just about anything. I do DIY stuff in my home. Just about each room in my home have their own unique vibe to it, unique look that I put together. And I just like putting things together or designing things. I'm very good with designing, especially like on Canva and stuff like that. I actually just made something, a gift for someone through Canva that's going to be really nice, or whatever, something like that. So I be editing and do like a lot of my own stuff. Yeah. Like I'll make graphics sometimes if I don't want to pay someone. But majority of the time, sometimes I'll just pay people like for convenience or just to support smaller artists or smaller creatives.
Yeah.
And just go from there. But a lot of things I really can do on my own if I know how to do it or I study how to do it.
Yeah, for sure. So I just want to tap into a few more things. We want to talk about your nonprofit and want to talk about your book. You really have a heart for the youth. You want to see young kids thrive, like not just on the track, but in life. So talk to me about the inspiration and all the things you're doing in that space.
So my book, TT's Red Adventure, right here.
Love that. I'm going to get it for my baby.
So that book really was, I realized that my fan base is made up of different ages, older adults, young adults, kids. And everywhere I go, my close people call me a kid magnet, a baby magnet, because some way, somehow, somebody child gets attached to me and I don't even know them. So I was just trying to find a way to reach my younger audience, and I couldn't do that really through social media. They don't have phones, they don't really have devices. And I've also won the Foster Love Back for Reading amongst the young children. So I was like, what better way than to come out with a children's book where they can see the graphics, they can read it themselves or have someone read it to them. They can kind of envision themselves in the scene as well. And that would be my way of relating to the younger kids. And that's how I came out with the first book. I'm actually in the works of the second book right now. And I end up going to schools to read to the kids. A lot of the kids have been purchasing the books. I think I've sold at least over 1,000 copies so far.
Amazing. I've been seeing your videos of like all the orders in your that's amazing.
I've sold over 1,000 so far, whether that's autographed or non-autographed copies. I'll be coming out with a hard copy soon too for the schools to be able to purchase to put in their libraries. Nice. So that's kind of just how that started. And then I just love giving back. I've always given back, whether that's through me taking stuff to Miami Northwestern for the track team, for the girls to be able to have clothing or spikes or whatever it may be. Just being able to give back in any way that I can, because I know when I was growing up, I had a village that was able to help me. When my parents couldn't step in, my parents couldn't show up, I had someone that was picking me up to take me to practice, taking me to the track meets, or deciding to pay for my package this year or that year just because I'm doing good on the track, or I'm a respectful respectful person and things like that. So I just wanted to be able to give back to the youth, especially during these times where there aren't really many, where there aren't really any recreational activities now. They don't really have the opportunity to go to summer camps. Whereas me growing up, I loved going to summer camp. I look forward to going to summer camp, going on field trips, being able to be with my friends. But the youth today don't have those opportunities. And they're all just stuck in the house on tablets or stuck on their phone. And they don't have no one pouring into them. And even if they're in the house stuck on their phone or tablets, nowhere is really safe right now. You never know what can go down at the park or at the school, you know? And I feel like that's very unfortunate for the kids today. And then also a lot of, not recreational, but like AAU travel ball or cheerleading or this and that is expensive. Some parents aren't able to afford that, and having multiple kids that they have to provide for, that they may not be able to pay for one of their kids to be able to do this sport and excel in it. But I feel like there's a lot of talent out there where the kids just don't have opportunities or anyone to pour into them to believe in themselves or to give them the resources that they need to go be the best that they can be in that sport. And that's where I decided to step in with my nonprofit, is being able to provide services and resources to them, whether they're an athlete or not, because, you know, not everyone is an athlete, not everyone going to excel as an athlete. So just being able to pour into them in whatever way helps them, whether it's through mentorship, through community initiatives, or just giving back or paying for their uniform or paying for their spikes, this and that. So that's really how I wanted to tap back in and just continue to give back with a purpose. You know, I was always giving back, but I was like, let me make it more meaningful now, you know, and allow other people to be able to support and pouring, because a lot of people ask me, how can I support you or what can I do? And I'm like, just donate to my nonprofit. Just like everything I think of the nonprofit first. Like, don't worry about trying to get me something. Like, one of my friends asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I don't want anything. Just donate to my nonprofit. You know, I feel like I have everything I need. I have more than what I need. Just help me be able to pour back into the youth. And I'll be coming out with a mentorship program through the nonprofit that I'm looking forward to releasing to get mentees to sign up. You know, my main target is Miami and local, and then eventually going worldwide. But with the youth, I mean, with the mentorship program, since some of it would be mainly virtual due to my travel schedule, I wouldn't mind out-of-state athletes or students or to be involved and stuff like that. But my main focus is being able to get those athletes that's at Miami Northwestern or Booker T. Washington or KR City, Norland, or anywhere.
Thank you, Norland. Thank you.
So they can get out of their environment. I know how hectic it can be down in Miami and getting caught up in the wrong environment just off of one small decision that you made and stuff like that. So just showing the kids that even though I made it out, you can make it out too, and you can also not forget. You can make it out too, and don't forget where you came from. You know, still pour back into your community. I feel like a lot of us make it out, and then we kind of forget about those back home or pouring into those back home. And it's kind of like allowing a cycle to just repeat itself, which we're not going to be able to save everybody. But if you can save a few, that makes a difference.
Absolutely. No, I love that answer. And I'm glad you talked about mentorship, because it's the perfect setup for my last question. I always end these interviews with this one question. Who is someone who has been instrumental in your life, not just track, just your life in general, who you have not had the chance to thank? Who is that person? Yes. Who is the person, and what is your message to them?
We all have these
mentors. And sometimes it's a mentor who we don't even know. It's somebody on TV who meant everything to us and they don't even know us. So like... Who is that person?
I have not had the chance, because a lot of mine, I keep, make sure I keep them in rotation. Hey, how you doing today?
Love that.
I don't really think I have no one that I don't, wasn't able to thank.
Okay.
But I would definitely say to my T-babies, to all of them, actually. You know, I'm the example for them. You know, they look up to me, but they don't realize the moments that I'm second guessing myself or feeling like things aren't going according to plan, that I rely on them. You know, they uplift me. I may see a random comment one day and a person just happened to say that. I'm like, oh, that just snapped me back into reality. You know, or they just don't know how much motivation they're giving me as much as I'm giving them. You know, because at the end of the day, you know, athletes are always looked at as the strong individuals, you know, that they don't go through things. But at the end of the day, we are humans just like everyone else, you know, and we have those moments where negative thoughts may creep in or you feel like you can't do this or you can't do that. So just being able to see them and seeing how I'm inspiring them, how I'm motivating them to be their best selves, they're also motivating me to continue to be my best self, to serve as an example for them, to continue to show them that things can be done. You know, you can be the first to do it, you can be the second to do it, but at the end of the day, it's always just going to be one you. So I love to tell people, always have fun with whatever you're doing, because the moment you start having fun with it is when everything is going to go downhill. And to just always be you, you know, that's something that those I look up to tell me when things aren't going the way it's supposed to. Just be you. Just be TT. You don't need to be nobody else but TT. And that small statement makes a huge difference for me, because I'm like, just go out there and be you. Don't try to do nothing different. Don't try to add nothing. You're ready for the moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is awesome. Shout out to the T-babies. Amazing. Thank you so much, TT. I have no more questions.
You're
welcome. I feel like you've given me like so much.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.